WZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President Trump are pressing for his Justice Department to pay roughly $230 million as a settlement for investigations he faced during the Biden administration and during his first term in office. That according to sources familiar with the matter. ABC's Catherine Falders has more.
We don't know if he's picking up the phone every day and calling Pam Bondi, the attorney general, and saying, get this done. But the reality is the people who would make these decisions and sign off on it are the people who represented him in the investigations that he is seeking settlement money over.
Plans are off for President Trump to meet with Russian President Vladimir Putin in Hungary or the immediate future. The White House says Secretary of State Marco Rubio held a call earlier with Russia's Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, calling it productive. ABC News has learned Lavrov made it clear Russia opposed President Trump's suggestion to freeze the fighting in Ukraine on the front line. The government shutdown dragging into a fourth week. The Senate will take up another vote again tomorrow, aiming to end the shutdown. This is ABC News.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for the Midwest Farm Report, with me, Pam Yonke.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. A group of Republican state lawmakers have introduced new legislation seeking to expand access to firearms. The legislative package would make firearms, ammunition, and other items exempt from sales tax on the 4th of July and during the third week of December each year. It would also allow residents to concealed carry their firearms without a license and strengthen language protecting the right to keep and bear arms in the state constitution. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has vetoed similar firearm legislation in the past. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation Division of Motor Vehicles is sharing tips with residents to highlight National Teen Driver Safety Week. According to a press release, traffic crashes are the leading cause of death for teens in the United States. Wisconsin saw nearly 19,000 crashes involving teen drivers last year, leading to 70 fatalities and nearly 6,000 injuries. DOT officials are reminding parents that proper training and practice for young drivers is crucial for safety, and the DMV's online teen portal offers various resources for driver safety programs. Following the fatal crash in Polk County last week, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is once again urging residents to practice proper safety when using ATVs and UTVs. DNR officials are urging riders to wear their helmet and seatbelt when operating the vehicles amid an uptick in fatal crashes this year. According to their data, 70% of the crashes this year involved riders who were not wearing their helmet or seatbelt. DNR officials are also reminding riders not to operate their ATV or UTV while intoxicated. The Ashland Police Department has announced a suspect was arrested on Saturday after allegedly making terrorist threats and bomb scares. According to law enforcement authorities, the suspect called the Superior Choice Credit Union location just before noon on Saturday, claiming that he had placed a possible explosive device in his own safety deposit box. Authorities brought in the Marathon County Bomb Squad to examine the building, which determined that there was no explosive device. The suspect was booked into the Ashland County Jail soon after. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
The future for Luke Fickell. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, college football. The Wisconsin Badgers play the number 6th-ranked Oregon Ducks Saturday night in Eugene. The Badgers are 2-5, losing 5 games in a row. Luke Fickell was asked if he knows yet if he'll be back next year at Wisconsin.
No, I don't think any of us have a crystal ball. I've never asked the question. It's not something that I can dwell upon. It's not something that I can't tell you that it's not something that doesn't you don't think about.
Chris McIntosh, the Badgers athletic director, releasing a statement saying Wisconsin remains supporting Fickell in his role as the head football coach. NFL. The Packers play the Steelers in Pittsburgh Sunday night. Linebacker Isaiah McDuffie on what he was most proud of in their win over Arizona.
You know, that's what we've been talking about since the start of the season. You know, just finishing throughout the entire week. That's what we emphasized, and, you know, we got the opt to finish, and we did it.
That's linebacker Isaiah McDuffie with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy night tonight, breezy at times, showers around, cold with lows in the mid-30s. Lots of clouds for tomorrow, still some showers around and staying chilly, highs in the low 40s. Warming through the rest of the week into the weekend. Currently 40 degrees.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman Program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local civic media radio station.
Matt Nair on air.
Attorney General Pam Bondi said that they had arrested the girlfriend of the head of Antifa. Troy from Mount Horeb is on the line. Good morning, Troy. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. I am the head of Antifa.
You are?
Yes, and I think my wife turned in my girlfriend. So,
you're in trouble now, Troy.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. From Indiana University canceling its school newspaper to northern Wisconsin being served by high school students, we'll discuss it with Pat Kreitler and Trigg Olson. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy whose house has an actual wiggle room, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Great to have you with me. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Another crazy fall night here. Overcast, blustery, as they used to say in Winnie the Pooh, if I can quote Winnie the Pooh. But a beautiful fall night here in northeast Wisconsin. Hope it is gorgeous where you are, too. I'm sure it is, because we're in Wisconsin. This is a weekend-like state of mind we have all week here in our beautiful state. So hope you're having a great day. Welcome to Nightlight. Great show tonight. Really fun guests. Conrad is here. Conrad, are you here?
I am here.
I thought so.
How's your M doing?
It's still not. It's better, which means it's a little better, which means it was probably a piece of food, a crumb that keeps getting crushed a little more.
Some gelato.
Every time I hit the M key. So it's better. It's functional. I'm not going to go out and buy a new computer, but if this persists, I'll have to take it to my pal Paul, who takes care of all my computer needs. And I usually just like throw him a gift card. What do you do when a friend helps you out?
I have a friend that's helped me out with computers all the time, you know? Like, he built my PC for me.
I don't even know how to talk to people like that.
I don't
either.
They can
build a computer. That's insanity.
I have no idea. And then when he's, like, trying to help me fix it over the phone, he's like, oh, do this and do this. I'm like, I don't understand what any of that means.
What's a space bar? but it's a little better. Thank you for asking. On behalf of my letter M. Well, I can't even type anymore. It used to be I can't write because those muscles are gone because I type. So when I write, my penmanship looks like I'm in second grade. But now I can't even type anymore because I will use voice any chance I get. It's the epitome of laziness. It's just me clicking twice on function and going in the Hollywood Beats, blah, blah, blah. And it never translates perfectly. I always have to go back and change things, but I would rather do that than sit there and type. And I'm a writer. I've been typing for the last 25 years. I just can't do it anymore.
My favorite thing is when you voice text me, you know, and you say the line like twice that you meant to say, because
right.
You don't know if it said it, and then it comes in twice.
I'll do that, and then I'll try to fire off a voice text in here during a commercial, like to a potential guest or something, and half of the message from the commercial that's playing will play during the voice. So it'll be like, hey, Rob, can you be on the Now at a Chevy Dealers? We have 20% off. Like, just, it makes no sense. So, but all is good. Tonight is a fun show, folks. You're here on a great night. My pal Jimmy Pardo is here at 6:35. Jimmy and I started a little bit before me in stand-up, but back in the extremely late 1980s, we both started doing stand-up, became fast friends, and he is one of my oldest friends in the biz, and just a great guy. He'll be here at 6:35. He is the host of the Never Not Funny podcast. Very few times, ladies and gentlemen, that a double negative is so effective, but it is when it comes to Jimmy's podcast. It's very funny. If you haven't checked it out, I highly recommend it. And Jimmy is also a hilarious stand-up comedian. Have you ever seen Jimmy stand up?
I haven't.
Very, like, stream of consciousness, off the cuff, really funny stuff. He's like a comics comic, just a hilarious guy. He'll be here at 6:35. Great fun. And then at 7:35, Rex Sykes, the co-founder of the million, I have to pull this up. I always get this confused. I think of the Million Man March, but this is Mission 1 Billion. This is a group Rex co-founded. It's a huge networking organization that meets once a week in Milwaukee, and they're having a big event tomorrow. And TV executive Rocky Wagenhurst will be speaking there tomorrow. So both guys are going to be on the show tonight. So that'll be good fun. Rocky's had a very interesting career, as has Rex. So they will both be along at 7:35 to tell us about this fun event. If you are in the business or want to make a movie or get involved in TV, this sounds like the event for you and the organization for you, as you will probably go there and meet people that could be instrumental and build a little network for yourself. It looks like a really fun event. So we'll learn more at 7:35. Got a fun question tonight. Did you watch any baseball last night?
I did watch a little bit. You know, I watched football because, I mean, the Brewers are out, so I'm like,
yeah,
still a little sad.
Yeah.
So hurting, or, you know, watching baseball hurts a little bit.
Sure. I get it.
But that was a crazy win that the Blue Jays had.
I watched, you know, I'm all about the YouTube highlights lately, and I watched that today while I was eating lunch, and man, those Toronto fans are electric.
Yeah. That home run when he hit that.
Oh, it reminds me, one of my favorite sports moments involves the Toronto Blue Jays, and it was when Joe Carter, I think it was in the early or mid-90s, hit a home run. I think it was to win the World Series, and his face, like, if fireworks could be a face, it was Joe Carter. He hit this home run, and he's just doing this and running around the bases. It was a great sports moment. So I think, I told you yesterday, I went to a lot of Dodger games when I lived in L.A. Took my son. His first favorite team was the Dodgers. And I was going for the Brewers. I thought I'll root for the Dodgers in the World Series, but I think I'm going for the Blue Jays. They're,
oh, I'm
the city is just a great city. And I love LA too, but like the city of Toronto, great fans, you know, and a fun team to watch too. Probably spent a lot more or a lot less than the Dodgers too.
I think they're like fourth in payroll or something.
Are they really?
I mean, they're still pretty high up there.
Wow. Okay. Well, it should be a good series, at the very least, and I'm excited about that. I'm excited about Bruce Springsteen, Deliver Me From Nowhere, opens this weekend. Finally, I've been reading stuff about this for a year, talking a little bit about it on this show. So I'm excited to see the film, and I think Jeremy Allen White will be a good boss. He looks the part, certainly in the trailers I've seen. I'll do a Hollywood beat that we'll record tomorrow, probably start playing on Thursday to talk about upcoming movies like I do every week here. And that will definitely be one of them. So I'm excited to see what the critics have to say, and I'm excited to see the film. That should be fun. Lots of stuff going on. I think I sent you that clip.
Yep.
I love it. You know, I used to not like it when people in Saturday Night Live would break and start laughing. But the Heidi Gardner thing with Beavis and Butthead.
It's a classic.
It's unbelievable. One of the greatest moments in Saturday Night Live ever. But I hated, like, when Jimmy Fallon was on the show, the sketch would start, and within 20 seconds, he'd just be cracking up. I'm like, why is he on the show? Put him in the studio audience. If he thinks it's so funny, it just, when it happens all the time, it's not. But these guys, Fred Armiston and who was the other guy? Bill Hader.
Bill Hader, yeah.
So funny. As these two guys doing this, they're like doing this like accent. I don't even know what kind of accent it is. But they're telling a story to this kid about Santa Claus. And Armiston starts out talking about Santa Claus, or talking about a snowman. And how he doesn't have legs, he has a snowball. And the kid is hilarious. I know that's a visual thing. You can't see the kid, but he's hilarious. But Armiston is telling this story in this crazy accent. And Hader breaks, and then Jamie Foxx is in it, and he's just trying not to laughing at these guys. So I think this is worth playing on the radio alone enough, just for the audio comedy in it. Here's a clip I found today that's kind of old. I just found it today, though, from Saturday Night Live.
Sally, come here. Do you know the story of Rodolfo?
Yes, we know it very well.
His nose was like no other deer. Yeah, it was electric. They light up. Like a big red cigarette.
Right.
Yeah, Santa Claus, I'm having trouble looking at to see her driving the sleigh at night time. So he said, Rodolfo, there is something special about you. And Rodolfo said, who, me? He goes, yeah, I'm talking to you. And Rodolfo said, no, I'm like the other deer. He goes, no, you're not. They don't have a regular nose. They're black. They're just there for a man.
Oh, yeah. He knows. Could you get us a cab?
I'll get it, but first listen to this story about Santa Claus. He's going to blow your mind. Okay, so Santa Claus. He says, I'm going to put Rodolfo in the... in the front, not in the back. the light was just lighting up. So Santa Claus was using his brain. You like that story?
Oh my gosh, there's our cab. Thanks, Alexi.
Christmas.
Okay, make it fast.
Once a bunch of children got together and they said, hey, from the snow, let's make a person. So they made this. They make this person, and for his legs, they make a big ball of snow. And for his belly, they make a smaller ball.
You see, and some snowmen are made of two balls. Yeah. And then this one is made of three balls. Frosty, three balls.
Yeah. Anyway, the kids, they take...
I just love hearing people lose it. And Fred Armisen obviously was doing some type of a Hispanic accent, but what was Bill Hader was like, it was like half Dutch, half, that was so bizarre, but it cracked me up. I love people breaking up. All right. I think it's time we get to our nightlight question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay. Question.
Question. Question.
Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Okay. I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Demanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
It is National Back to the Future Day. What era would you like to travel back to? National Back to the Future Day, great movie. What era would you like to travel back to? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text us on the app. Drop us a text. Over the app is really easy, folks. Nightlight is on in many markets. Whatever station you're listening to, statewide, just click on the little text button and you're all set. Almost as easy as the phone. And then if you're watching the radio on the stream, you can drop us a stream comment. If you're watching on YouTube, Facebook, or X. I'm getting used to calling it X, Con.
I still call it Twitter anytime.
I do casually, but it's just like, is it a battle I want to fight? I hate it either way. But I don't know.
Just like I'll never call it AmFam, you know?
What do you call it?
Miller Park.
Yeah, Miller Park is a good one. What happened there? Miller just said, no, sorry, yeah, it's not for us anymore. You know,
I think there was some numbers that were like, I don't agree with that.
It's too much? Okay. County Stadium. Those days are long gone.
Yeah.
Soldier Field, County Stadium, local ballpark. Like, there's just too many. There's too much money to be made. It's too bad because those are Veterans Park, you know, all those great stadiums. But let us know, folks, what era would you like to travel back to? I'm going to say the 1940s, right after World War II, gin joints popping up, jazz music. And that's when the Beats started, like Kerouac started writing about taking his pension from the military and just traveling America to see what people were up to. Doing things very unconventionally. But even those that did things conventionally could still go to see jazz. And I don't know, it seemed like a great time in America. I'm romanticizing it, of course. Every era had their problems. I almost said the 50s, but I think I'd go back to like the mid to late 40s. What about you, Ken?
I said the medieval times because I think I can make a good knight.
Think so, huh?
Or a jester.
You'd have great hair, according to Eric Ratzak.
Probably, you know, yeah, live a short life, you know, but
I could be a knight. I hate the medieval times on every level. I hate going to the hotel in Vegas. I hate the 7-course meal where you go and they come in, they call everybody ye and do that kind of stuff. I just have no use for it.
I'd just be in the middle of nowhere, you know, just free with 2 coins.
As a knight? All right. Let us know what era you would like to travel back to, folks. It's National Back to the Future Day. Jimmy Pardo is here at 6:35. Lots of fun tonight. Glad you're here. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Too late, too late.
turn back now. I believe, I believe, I believe I'm falling in love. It's too late.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The incomparable Jane Mattner.
I have been in radio for 44 years.
It's incredible.
I wanted to be an actress originally. Radio to me was mind theater. Mm-hmm. I could be anybody.
Yeah.
And people could imagine it. It's like reading a book instead of the movie. Is your mind gets to fill in lots of details. And I think that's part of the genuine experience of radio.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Schwabba, this is Nightlight, celebrating the glory that is Tuesday night here tonight. Great to have you here. We have a great question tonight. It is National Back to the Future Day. Great movie. And it got me thinking, where would you travel to if you could go to a certain time, whether it's in our own country's history or before the United States even existed? Conrad picked the medieval times because he wanted to be tortured in that stretching machine, I guess.
Yeah, well, no, I'd be a knight, and I'd represent the king.
Yeah.
I'd Kingsguard, you know?
You'd be total establishment.
And then on my side gig is being a jester for the king as well.
You have to put your sword down and pull out the microphone. All right, that works. I said the late 1940s, like when gin joints and jazz clubs started opening up after World War II, that must have been a great time to be here. We survived a terrible time, potential threat. You could argue America's in a pretty bad place right now. Maybe we'll come out of this even better. Who knows? But that's where I would go if I had a choice. I don't think I'd go back to the 1800s or even before the Depression. It was kind of seemed like maybe a cool time in America. But the 50s, there was a lot going on. The interstates were being built. Houses were affordable. 60s, there was all this crazy stuff happening. 70s as well. I don't know.
Couldn't you go to, like, you know, one of the, like, I don't know what the handy stores were back then, but you could go down the house aisle and pick out a house to be built.
I'll take that one. A nice 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom. Well, all the houses were small. I think that's when a lot of people started going to California. They had all these, like, 2-bedroom, 1-bath homes in decent weather, and they were affordable back then.
Yeah. Would you do what Biff did?
Oh, yeah, yeah, Biff from Back to the Future.
And would you go back in time, knowing your knowledge now of betting on games?
Yeah, I would.
I definitely would too.
I mean, it's kind of cheating, but
I mean,
who are you really hurting? Yeah. The bookies. But I mean, they're probably still going to make money because enough people are going to not make money. I would do it smart though. I wouldn't try to clean out the single house. Yeah, I would make very. It's like in The Sting. You have to take him and not let him ever know you took him. You can't gloat. You just place those bets and you make a cool million a year.
Wow, what a lucky guess.
Yeah, wow, this guy's on it. So Conrad said the medieval times, a gesture / knight. That's like saying when I grow up, I want to be a cop and a professional football player.
Yeah, why not?
When you're a kid. Rob Momart says, if it was like the Flintstones, I would definitely visit the Stone Age. Sadly, it was not as not accurate as portrayed on TV. Yeah, there was no animation back then either, Rob, which would have affected Rob's art. What do you think Rob would have done?
It would have been cool to do the, like, you know, you run to make the car move.
That seems like a lot of work to me. Kind of like the push button start myself.
But once you get it going down that hill.
Yeah, with no brakes. It's not too bad. Thank you, Rob. Daniel Wheeler says, I'll ride shotgun with Conrad in the DeLorean and go back to medieval times. I could probably get a job painting portraits of wealthy landowners and save up my coins to buy a goat.
Nice.
Daniel feels it's worth traveling back then to have a goat.
So I'll see him back in medieval times. You know, I'll protect his goat because I'm a knight.
Or you'll make his goat laugh as a gesture.
Exactly.
Okay. Vince Morano, comedian Vince Morano, says, any day where a company like Apple or McDonald's stock became available. Yeah, that's kind of like the Biff thing. You know, it's interesting. I have friends who bought stock in IBM and made a lot of money, and I have friends that did not buy stock. What was it? Xerox. They missed it. They were like going to do it, and they didn't, and they missed out on a fortune. So that could probably be equally as frustrating, I would think. My pal Sean on social media says the 1940s, with any luck, I'd be the pushiest and most successful prophylactic salesman in Queens, New York. Wow, that's a different kind of creepy. Hey, anybody want to buy a rubber? Who's buying from a guy like that?
Going down the street.
Yeah, walking door to door.
Rubbers for sale.
Yeah. Yeah. Try to sell the housewives rubbers. That's they're stuck home with a bunch of kids. Maybe they'd be your best customers. I don't know. Lil Irv on the stream says 1984 with enough money to buy Apple, Oracle, Microsoft, Amazon, something, Facebook, Tesla, and Bitcoin.
NVIDIA,
what's that?
I'm pretty sure it's just a technology brand, I believe.
I don't think
it's in my PC.
Is it? So it's still.
But it I don't lasted. Know what it does.
Okay.
It's there.
The key is what you got to do is buy low and sell high. That's the one thing I've learned. As the numbers guy. Edward from the 414 says, the 90s, I was in my 20s. It wouldn't even be fair. Yeah, the 90s were pretty good too. Yeah, the dot-com boom. The economy was great. Yeah, pretty good music. And it was before smartphones. I like that. Like, I had a cell phone in the 90s. It was like a flip phone. Realistically, that's all I needed. Have a few chats when you're in the car. I don't need everything at my fingertips. That's kind of what I like about the 90s and early 2000s. Thank you, Edward. Brett in Brown Deer says, I'll go back to the 60s and go to Woodstock and see how bad the brown acid was. I knew somebody was going to say or make a reference to that. I wouldn't even know what to do. Like if I was, what would you do if you're at a concert and all of a sudden you're around a bunch of nude people?
I don't know.
It's just kind of like, Steve, well, let's save Conrad's dad's text for when we come back. Jimmy Pardo is here, folks, after the news. That'll be fun catching up with Jim. I've got a lot of cool stuff to ask Jimmy. He's got a lot of different interests, and he's always fun, and he'll probably make fun of my shirt again like he did last time. Stick around and find out. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
More than that. Tell me more. You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 96.9 WBZH.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. A proposed bill that would require first responders to carry EpiPens received a public hearing in the Wisconsin State Legislature last week. The legislation was initially introduced in April with bipartisan support from lawmakers. In addition to requiring emergency medical responders, firefighters, conservation wardens, and more to carry the EpiPens, they would also be required to receive training on administering it. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services estimates equipping first responders with EpiPens would cost around $2.6 million per year. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is inviting residents to celebrate Forest Products Week. According to a press release, the state's forestry industry generates an estimated $27 billion in goods each year and supports over 56,000 jobs, leading to a total economic impact value of over $41 billion. Forest Products Week is meant to recognize the workers who help sustain the crucial industry in the state. More information on the economic impact of Wisconsin's forestry industry is available on the DNR's website. A Bayfield County Meals for Seniors program has received $10,000 in funding to address gaps in emergency food supplies. The North Lakes Community Clinic 100 New Care Ashland and Bayfield Counties awarded the funds to the Meals program after it won a community vote held in September. The program had previously been based at Northland College before the school's closure this year. The Bayfield County Department of Human Services now offers the program in partnership with the Red Cliff Band of Lake Superior Chippewa Indians. Volunteers working on the Ice Age Trail in northwest Wisconsin say they've completed a footbridge allowing hikers to avoid walking along State Highway 48. The new bridge crosses over the Strait River in Polk County, cutting out about a mile of the trail that required hikers to walk along the shoulder of Highway 48. Nearly 90 area volunteers contributed to the construction of the new bridge and say the project only took about 5 days to complete. That area of the trail now features a new 30-foot bridge with about 4,100 feet of brand new tread. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. At this past weekend's box office, horror was king. Not a huge surprise with Halloween right around the corner, but give some credit to good reviews and a solid sequel as Black Phone 2 landed at number 1 with $26.2 million at the gate. The original Black Phone also had decent reviews and opened with about $23 million at the box office. Coming in second place was last week's winner, Tron Aris, which pulled in about $11 million. Good Fortune came in at number 3 in its first week of release with pretty good reviews for this comedy that brought in just over $6 million. One Battle After Another brought in $4 million in its fourth week in theaters for a total haul of about $62 million domestically. Action comedy True Story Roofman brought in $3.5 million in its second week. According to Variety, despite Black Phone 2's impressive weekend, the results were a bit lackluster. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 96.9 WBZH.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy night tonight, breezy at times, showers around, cold with lows in the mid-30s. Lots of clouds for tomorrow, still some showers around and staying chilly, highs in the low 40s. Warming through the rest of the week, into the weekend. Currently 40 degrees.
Don't act like that. Don't wear that. Don't think that. I've heard everything you tell yourself every time you felt different. And I want you to know that you can be vulnerable and powerful. That taking care of your mind is taking care of everyone you love and who loves you. Love your mind. Find mental health resources at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Dan Hagen, you were out hunting. How did that go?
This buck is eluding me, so I'm just trying new things. I bought designated hunting clothes that I'm going to wash with special detergent that has no scent on it.
People get into the scent, and there's all kinds of things people try to do. I don't know that the science is conclusive. Otherwise, everybody would have success every time. You got to try what you can try, right?
That's spending money for no real reason, probably, at the end of the day.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Wednesday, Ellie Bordeaux will tell us what she's been putting in our daily newsletter at Up North News. And from Civic Media, Earl Ingram from the What's Going On podcast.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
In the park, they don't know I'm alone in the dark, even though.
Welcome back. I'm Pete Schwab, and this is Nightlight. Our question of the night is, it's National Back to the Future Day. What era would you like to travel back to? And Clint in the 608 says, go back to the day of my birth and tell my parents to stop the circumcision. I don't know if that's really an era, but every little bit helps. Right, Clint? Great text. Thank you. All right. I'm very excited, folks, to welcome my first guest of the night. We go back a long way. He's a great friend. Hilarious stand-up comedian and incredibly accomplished podcast host. And host in general, multi-talented, the one and only Mr. Jimmy Pardo. Hey, buddy.
Hello, Pete.
How are you?
Good. You know what? I'm just, I like you, I'm yearning for the time where we all lived in the days of pre-Clint circumcision. I mean, it was a different time, and his parents just did him, they didn't do him right, and we're all feeling it.
It was definitely a more innocent time.
Your words.
I'm with you, buddy. I hope you appreciate, I played that song. I know you're a huge fan of Chicago, as am I, but compared to you, I can't even hold a torch, but I sent Conrad this song, Make Me Smile. I said, let's play some Chicago for when Jimmy comes on. But my computer, Jim, is having an issue with the M's. They're not clicking when I click the M. So my first text to Conrad was, can you pull Ake E. Sile?
Okay.
And luckily, I corrected
it. Found it.
He did.
Conrad's good.
He is. I corrected it. He'd still be looking for the song that didn't exist if I hadn't caught my stupidity. So.
Fair.
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing very well. I just saw Chicago in concert at the Hollywood Bowl about a month ago. It was my 112th time seeing them.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah, that's a lot. You know, I mean, they've been around a long time, and I've been seeing them since 1981. Again, pre-Clint circumcision days. And I remember the band made mention of that. They said, this one goes out to Clint's parents. You know, let's do it right. Saturday in the park.
And put down right the knife. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's 112 times. That's like, that's a summer home, Jim.
I think it is. It's probably more than that because I've spent some dumb money on this band, but I think it'll be the last time, Pete. You know, they're down to one original member. And while the current band is great, it's not the band. You know, if you're just a casual person going, hey, let's go listen to those great hits, you're in good shape. But if you're going there to see the guys that you grew up, you know, posters on the wall, this, that, and the other, it's a little disappointing.
How do you, I'm sure I've asked you this before, if not on a previous appearance on the show when we were just hanging out, but like, what's your favorite era of Chicago pre-Clint circumcision, of course?
Yeah, you know, I was just talking about this with my buddy, Stuart J. Waddles, and we were discussing, I can't even... Come on, Stuart. I mean, is that?
Did
is
you
that
hear the, just hear his newscast? How did you know that name?
Stuart I did. Said, is that the name of a newsman? Is
cool. Oh yeah, Stuart.
How do we
great.
Feel about it, Pete?
Oh, I love Stuart. He's phenomenal.
I'm not saying I don't like Stuart.
I know that.
You understand that? I got no problem with Stuart. I got no truck with Stu.
Well, you think he should change his name?
I don't know. I don't take a newsman seriously who goes by Stuart J. Waddles. He sounds like a cartoon mouse, and I just don't. I don't trust him with my news. I. Immediately, I just picture Stuart Little, and this is his buddy Stuart J. Waddles, and the two of them go on hijinks together. Pete, they, Stu Little and Stu Waddles, they just you know, they're tiny little world in the gutters.
You know, here's what I'm going to say on behalf of my friend Stuart J. Waddles. He's got a face and a voice you can trust, Jim. Name aside, okay. I'm just saying, like you know, Conrad. Let's you know what. Cut that from the podcast. Right? I don't want Stuart to hear that. It could send him.
Well, you don't want Stuart to hear the positivity. That's interesting.
Stuart can take it. Stuart's actually taken comedy classes. He's friends with a lot of comedians, believe it or not. So he'll be thrilled.
I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Based on the read of the news, I don't think he's got it. That's
oh,
it.
Dude. Come on.
I love Stuart. You know, I love Stu Waddles. You know, I always have. I'm always going to be a Stu Waddles fan. My favorite era of Chicago is it started in the 80s, but it's hard not to ignore those classics. But you know, the first time I saw them was 1981, so I'm a child of the 80s.
Yeah.
I'll answer your question if, you know, Back to the Future Day, if I can go back to any era, it certainly would be the 80s.
Okay.
You know, when it was, you know, it was just for guys our age, it was an easier time. You know, the hardest thing, that my biggest worry was, am I going to open the record store on time? You know what I mean? That was the biggest worry I had.
You know what my biggest worry was? In high school, there was this thing going around where you thought it was a real funny joke if you signed your friend up for the draft or to enlist in the... So you'd fill out the card, and then you'd have military recruiters calling you. And guys in my high school thought that was hilarious, Jim.
Wow.
So that was kind of a worry.
Did you go to school in 1967? Are you older than I think you are?
No, we still had... That was still a thing. The draft happened up until... Because that was the Cold War, too.
Yeah, I know.
So that was a little bit of a concern, but by and large, I'm totally with you on the 80s. It was a fun time.
I do remember talking to somebody. I believe it was a broadcaster, Ed Till, when it looked like we might go into it. Might have a draft in the late 80s. And I think, you know, you and I and probably others were probably like, we were just too old to not be drafted, but just young enough to like, well, they might need us.
Right.
And it was I remember it being a little scary. So I couldn't even imagine what it was like for our parents for Vietnam.
60s, no kidding. My dad was dishonorably. He was honorably discharged because he had a back issue. Or, you know, I think I would have made it, but my four siblings might not have been born if he had to go to Vietnam. It's like, I can't even imagine what that's like.
Now, back issues of what magazine? What did he have back issues of that got him kicked out of the service?
True Detective or Spy Detective or whatever that was called. Cracked. I don't know that. The occasional crack
in Mad Magazine. He was making those making boobs out of mountains to entertain himself.
We're gonna let this guy go. You, Jim, last time you were here, I still laugh about this. It was very cold. I was sick. I grabbed a very warm shirt. It was not the most attractive shirt in the world. And you made very funny comments. You said, "Is that from the Tim Walz collection?" My daughter Kate still laughs at that. But what was so funny was just the way you looked at my shirt when you came on, and I was like, literally, like, here it comes. I know it's coming.
And the wind up, the pitch.
So beautiful.
Now, Pete, if I mentioned Tim Walz, was that pre-election? Is that
That was, you were here in January. I can't believe it's been that long, but that was post-election.
Okay, so it was post-election, but pre-
inauguration, maybe? That could be.
Yeah, all right. Well,
he was making some funny videos, whether or not you agree with his president.
You know what? I like the idea that he's doing it himself. That that fumbling, his thumbs wouldn't know what to hit. We had a nice rally on Saturday, Pete. We went, Danielle and I, my beautiful wife Danielle and I, we went to the rally in Beverly Hills, California.
Oh, nice.
And it was celebrity free. I expected to see a few celebrities out there, but I didn't see any celebrities. It being Beverly Hills, I thought we'd see some big names with placards out there, but a little disappointing.
You know what was fun to go to in Beverly Hills is when we would all get together and watch the Oscars, and a lot of us were very new out there, and then we would just walk down the street and see everybody going into the after parties. Were you part of that? I was
part of that. And then here's where it turned. My wife, who grew up out here and whose father was, you know, a star of Star Trek.
Yeah.
She was at one of those parties once, and we all, you know, this is back in our drinking days too. Sure. So we would go to the Oscar party. We'd watch the Oscars. Again, we're new to Los Angeles. We're young actors. We think, you know, this is 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And then, oh, we could walk less than a mile to watch them go into the Vanity Fair party. And it was exciting. Also, we're drunk. Very important to know that we're drunk. Right. And my wife was like, I grew up here. I don't understand why this is fun. She's like, and it kind of like, it was like, yeah, you know what? We're professionals. Why are we doing this? Why am I going down there to yell hello to Roger Ebert? Why am I?
Oh, wow.
I remember one time I was really drunk and I was on the, talking to somebody back in Chicago on a payphone. That happened to be along the limo route, and Roger Ebert got out of the limo and then walked to the Vanity Fair party, and I yelled to him, "Hey, Roger, it's me, Jimmy. I'm on the phone with Chicago," as if he's going to go, "Oh, you're talking to somebody in the city? Let me come over." Like, I don't know what I expected.
Right. Well, hey, look, we all have our moments, but I will say to you, within a week of the death of Ace Frehley. Yes. You and I had, and I've told this story before on the show when Jimmy's been here, I apologize, but you saw Paul Stanley, and I thought you were going to lose your mind. We were at a gas station in the Cahuenga Pass, and you're like, oh my God, it's Paul Stanley, and you were almost hyperventilating, and you're like, where's my Kiss CD? I always have a Kiss CD. But the second he came over, I've never seen anyone more cool. You were like, love the new album. And he's like, do you? Thanks. Yeah, when we went into the studio at first, he starts talking like, you guys had this like 5-minute conversation. It was beautiful.
It was pretty cool. Like, he talked as if he wasn't Paul Stanley of Kiss. He talked about like a guy who's like, you like our band? Oh, that's great that you like our band. Let's talk a little bit about it. Like, not the fact that, like, again, I had his posters all over my wall as a kid. and that's kind of how I feel about Ace Frehley. It's, you know, Ace was on my podcast about 7 years ago. And,
nice.
So to have a legend like that on was really, really cool. And then, you know, and he was a very nice guy, a real nice guy. And, you know, I'm always weirded out when people get a little overly emotional when a celebrity dies, because it's like, come on, man. You don't know that person. And I don't know Ace Frehley, but I will say he's been part of my life since 1976, you know?
For sure.
And so it did put me in a funk for a day with Ace's passing. And again, he was a nice man when he came on the podcast.
Somehow Destroyer, or it was either Destroyer or Machine Head, was my first album, and the other one was the second one.
Head by Deep Purple?
Yeah, Deep Purple. And my guest is Jimmy Pardo. He is the host of the Never Not Funny podcast. Check it out if you haven't. It's very funny. He is also he's a hilarious stand-up comic. And he's joining me here on Nightlight. Jim, I want to say, I think that was Paul Stanley. He had the makeup on. And
you know what? It could have just been a guy going to a kid's party.
He asked us to go to the bathroom with him. I thought that was a little strange. But
that's how rock and rollers do it. That's how Hollywood rolls. It's a different world out here, Pete.
Hey, so let me ask you something, all right? You're this huge stand-up comic, and I don't know if you were asked to do this or what your thoughts were, but when the comedians went to the comedy festival in the Middle East, I don't even know if I'm saying it right. Is it Ridya?
Riyadh.
Riyadh, okay. I was looking at it phonetically. What did you think about that? Because it was controversial, and I kind of thought at first, well, they're going to the Middle East as ambassadors to make people laugh, and then I found out who was behind it, and I was like, oh, that's sick. So I mean, they're all kind of defending themselves and getting defensive. It was, you know, it was Bill Burr and Chappelle and some of those guys. What's your take on that? You're closer to this.
I don't know if I could have said no fast enough had they offered it to me. I don't care about, even the low money that was offered was like $350,000, which, that's $100,000 is like, $10,000 is good money. Like,
sure.
So it's life-changing money, but, you know, I feel I felt the same way about the Live Tour, the golfers who are taking that money. And it's like, they're like, I'm making more money than ever, and I play golf less. It's like, but you're taking money from people that use a bone saw.
I mean, blood money, yeah.
How do you feel good about that? So I felt that way about the Live Tour. And then when I saw this thing happening, and then you saw like the grid of comedians that went, and it's like, that makes sense, that makes sense, that makes sense. Like, they're all kind of these guys and a few of the women who that just seems to be their brand, where like they are okay with that. And I was sickened by it. And, you know, the fact that Bill Burr and Dave Chappelle and Aziz and there's a fourth one who Louis C.K. You know, they're digging their heels in.
Right.
Whereas someone like Jessica Curson immediately went, I made a mistake. I should not have done this. I didn't realize it was. You know, but for Bill Burr to say the Royals were happy, it's dude, come on, man.
And they're the guys, I don't get it.
I wouldn't have gone. I'm sorry, Pete.
They don't need the money either. They're the comics that don't need the money.
That's like, the other thing. They're the comics.
Let's pick up here. We got to do a really short break. Jimmy Pardo is here, folks, host of the Never Not Funny podcast. We're coming back after a very short break. Don't go anywhere. It's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy. In 2011, I founded Wesley Financial Group with one goal in mind, to help honest folks out of their timeshares permanently. Today, I run Wesley with my two sons, a real family business, treating every client and every employee like we'd want our own family treated. That philosophy has helped us grow into the largest, most trusted timeshare cancellation company in the United States. Fortune magazine even recognized us as one of the best places to work. Why? Because we genuinely care. In fact, some of our former clients were so moved by their experience working with us, they joined our team so they could help others to timeshare freedom. If you're stuck in a timeshare, give us a call. Let our family help your family.
Call Wesley now for your free timeshare exit kit. 800-549-8866. 800-549-8866. 800-549-8866.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
30,000 Wisconsinites could be priced out of ACA insurance completely. Former Assistant Secretary for Commerce and Economic Development, Alejandra Castillo. What's the off-ramp here?
If you haven't called your member of Congress, you need to. The off-ramp can only be individuals like you and I calling our members of Congress and demanding that both the White House and Congress begin to negotiate a real solution.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, this is Mike Starr, and you're listening to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. This is great. Another text from Tyler from the 608. He says, I want to see the Big Bang. I bet that was a very blustery day. That's a good one. Thank you, Tyler. Here is another text that's geared toward my guest, Jimmy Pardo. Joe from La Crosse, he's in the 608, says, I finished watching The Godfather of Green Bay last night, and I have to say that I absolutely loved it. You two guys were great. Well, thank you, Joe. And Jimmy was, every once in a while I hear Higgins, and it's just, it cracks me up.
Well, it's, you know, it's one of those, I was just talking about that role the other day, Pete. You know, when you work on a picture like that, you're on a set with the type of talent that I was on, you know, you really immerse yourself in the role. And actually what I was talking about was the fact that I can't believe the confidence that I had that you talked me into showing my rare, my nude behind, in addition to opening up the door in nothing but bikini briefs and a robe. And I did it. And I don't know, to this day, I don't know how. I would say no if you asked me today.
Yeah, it was peer pressure probably. No, you didn't show your butt though.
I showed my butt because you were asleep in the bathtub and you looked over and I'm taking a whiz. And
what's
that?
We didn't use that.
You still shot it. I still had to do it.
Listen, if you want it for your reel, just ask Jim. It's fine. We'll send it to you.
What if that was the only thing on my reel? please hire me. And it's just my butt from behind while I'm going to the bathroom.
Jimmy's ass is in demand. That was fun. You were very funny though.
Well, Pete, I appreciate it. You know, that was a lot of fun. And there was Oktoberfest, what, 2004?
Yeah, it sounds about right. Weird. I have, because of this show, I've not had to, but it just comes up. And I haven't talked about the movie in so long. And now we're doing a screening in Madison on the 4th. And it's kind of come back into my life, this movie. Oh. I wasn't sick of it. I'm proud of it. I like it. But I'm still sort of like, you know, it's just like if you had to do the same jokes over and over in your act.
Well,
you know what I mean?
I don't know if that's a good example. I think that's I improvise every night. It's a different show every night. And but Pete, you got some new clips from that movie? That's unfair. I'm doing inside jokes on a radio show. I apologize.
I keep clip. No, listen, here's the funny story. Okay. Steve Iatt, this is so, you're friends with Steve. Very good friends.
I am.
All right. Dave Dugan on Facebook today posted just a picture of Steve Iatt on stage. No caption, no nothing. And my first thought, what would your first thought be if you saw that?
I would think probably the same thought you had, maybe not a positive one.
Dear God, what happened? Oh, no, not Steve. That was my
100%.
So I go to Steve's Facebook page. There's nothing posted. It says no posts available. Oh, no. And then I look and Dave's working with Steve and he just didn't post the other pictures yet. So,
by the way, how funny is that show? Dave Dugan and Steve Iatt. Oh, my
great
God.
Great show. Yeah. Excellent show.
What a show.
Steve keeps saying, I'd love to do your show. Let me do it when I'm coming to Wisconsin to do stand-up, and I can talk about it. And that apparently is never going to happen. I don't think anybody in Wisconsin is booking Steve because I haven't heard a peep from him.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Pete, I'm sorry. I think Steve, I haven't, he's not done my podcast either, and I would love to have him on any time. Yeah, I'm on record. He's the funniest guy I've ever met.
Very funny guy. And I don't care if he doesn't want to do it. Like, I've had guys that say, look, I don't really do that stuff anymore. I'm fine with that. I don't care. Great. But
really?
Feel like
why don't you accept that when I say it? This is my bare butt all over again. I'm bullied into this.
I blackmail you with the butt footage.
I love it.
Yeah, I was laughing because Steve, one of my best memories of Steve, you and I and Steve were miniature golfing for money in St. Louis.
Yeah.
And it was literally the hole you always make fun of, the windmill hole when your stand-ups are doing a joke. Yeah, I have trouble with the windmill hole. This was a windmill hole, and Steve was trying to time it to hit the ball. And right when he was on his backswing, you and I both knew he timed it horribly and was going to hit the blade. And we looked at each other and Steve, I've never laughed so hard at someone's anger. It was beautiful.
Yes, he was. By the way, I've lost back in those days. I was making, and you know this, you make when you're a beginning comic, you make $250 a week, maybe.
Yeah.
And I remember one week, Steve and I were working in Toledo. I believe it was Toledo. And I lost all that money to him on the miniature golf course. I lost.
Oh my gosh.
I kept, cause he's a better golfer than me. And even on a miniature golf course, he's putting better than me. And I keep double or nothing. And all of a sudden I'm writing him a check for $250 because we just played miniature golf. I'm an idiot.
Oh my gosh. He took it too, huh? He didn't let you off the hook.
You know what? Do you gamble? You touch the oven, you're going to get burned, Pete. Would I have taken the money from a friend? Probably not.
Me too. I think we just found a chink in the eye at armor here is what I'm saying. Like, he's a good guy to a point.
He's a hustler. You know what he is? He's a hustler. No, what's the word you're a hustler.
Con man or hustler. Yeah, that works.
Yeah. I'm not a good pool player. And then you are. That's
sure.
Steve. He's again, brilliantly funny and a great guy.
I want to ask you this, and I'm hoping I can keep you through the news, Jim, for another segment.
Sure.
You have a son who is very interested in the arts, very talented kid. I've seen some of the things he's done that you and your wife post online. It's just great stuff. And he seems to be following you into this business as kind of my kids are right now. How do you feel about that?
You know how I feel about it? I wish he went into anything else. At the same time, Pete, he's opened for me about, he's done about 10 to 12 stand-up sets. He's opened for me about 10 times.
Oh, I think he told me that,
He is, he's good.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing. It's like, as a comedian, I don't say this as a dad, I say it as a comedian. When you see somebody that's got it, you go, that guy's got it. Or you see somebody that's like, why is this guy doing comedy? He's horrible. My son has it. And so how do I feel about it? I wish he was doing anything else, but how do I not encourage him to continue being hysterical?
That's exactly how I feel. I just wish my kids were talented. That's the difference.
No.
And that's the problem.
But
I'm still nervous. Like, they're both sharp kids, but I'm still like, just go be an electrician or do something I don't have to worry about. So I don't have to worry about this again, you know?
Here's the other thing, Pete. You and I both know what happens on the road. Our parents didn't.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so, like, if all of a sudden Oliver's opening up for somebody in Cincinnati, it's like, I know what happens after shows and so on. It's like, oh, no.
But
yeah, you get together with the other comics, you read a little scripture. It's a good time. It's
okay,
fun.
Okay, you know what? I forgot.
All right, we are coming right back for Act Two. Enjoy your intermission, folks. Jimmy Pardo is coming back too, and we will read some of your texts. Our question of the night: what era would you travel back to? It's National Back to the Future Day. We are coming right back. It's a Tuesday at Nightlight. I'm Pete Schwabe, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. President Trump is demanding $230 million from his own Justice Department for past cases against him, including the investigation into the Russian interference in the 2016 election and the classified documents case.
We have numerous cases having to do with the fraud of the election, the 2020 election, and because of everything that we found out, I guess they owe me a lot of money.
It would be up to Trump's handpicked DOJ officials to defend against the president's claims. Late today, federal agents, including ICE, launching a crackdown in New York City's Chinatown. People detained, many people. This just hours after Homeland Security officials and a suspected undocumented immigrant were both shot and wounded in a targeted traffic stop in Los Angeles. Police say a man pardoned for his actions on January 6th is under arrest for allegedly threatening to kill House Democratic Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries. New York State police say 34-year-old Christopher Moynihan's charged with making a terroristic threat. This is ABC News.